Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Senator John Thune told the Washington Post that Republicans are edging closer and closer to getting 50 votes for a bare-bones plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. As debate continues today in the Senate, we hear from Senator Mike Rounds. I spoke with Senator Rounds yesterday afternoon when he previewed the procedural challenges of the current debate and laid out his predictions for today.
Now, we're in the Senate with the House bill to begin with. That House bill has now got a pending amendment on it, which is the Senate version. And the Senate version is designed for debate and discussion, and it is a platform for amendments to be added to it. We're in, as you know, this is in what they call the reconciliation bill, one bill per year, which is designed to reconcile the budget between the House and the Senate. Allows you to do this on what you call a process where it's only 51 votes rather than 60 votes to pass. But since you have that, you have very strict rules about what can be in the bill. They've got to be, all the proposed amendments have got to be scored. You've got to be under a certain limit in terms of the dollar amount that you spend total on the particular project you're working on. So we're in the point right now where we're in 20 hours of debate, mandatory debate, before the amendments start to fly. And we've had a couple of amendments so far. This is Wednesday afternoon, where we've had a couple of amendments so far that all have been rejected so far because they do not have appropriate scoring on them, as expected. And we'll continue into this until the 20 hours total has been spent. And any time spent voting or any time spent talking or explaining or reading a bill is not included in the 20 hours. It's real debate time. Probably later on this evening or early tomorrow. Then we begin what they call a votorama, and that's where the Senate stays in session and we accept any and all amendments for discussion. They have to be scored in terms of what their costs are, and then we work our way until the process is exhausted. And you keep going until every single member says, I'm done with all of my debate and discussion. It could take 12 hours, could take 15 hours, could take 20 hours. When we're done with that, there's a final vote, up or down, on the end product, which the majority leader has the ability to propose at the very end. And that's where we're at right now. It's a complicated program, but what the goal is to end up with a product that we send to a conference committee with the House on health care to repeal and replace Obamacare. And there's lots of ideas out here. Everybody's passing around sheets right now about which proposal is the best. The Dems at this stage of the game have just simply said, you guys are going to do it on your own. We tried it already, and we caught heck for 7 years, and it's your turn now. And so they've basically told us they're not going to give us a single yes vote on any proposal. So in the meantime, they will continue to try to lay in amendments that are embarrassing or that are hard to vote against, senses of the Senate, as they call them. And the Republicans will then offer counter amendments, which allow individuals to have another alternative that they can vote on instead, back and forth. And it'll go until we exhaust everybody and they're ready to call it a week. So it's not at its prettiest form, but it's probably the most interesting. And we've got lots of folks out here watching it go on, trying to figure out what the next step is going to be.
It is somewhat of a civics lesson. For all of us to sort of see the procedures and how they work. What we're hearing or what we're seeing in the national news is these notions of repeal with a timeline to consider replacing, this notion of what's being called the skinny repeal. How are those conversations going? Do you think they have the votes?
The discussions around those have been just to get them into a conference committee. There is not enough votes on just a skinny repeal by itself because it doesn't do enough to protect individuals that have no place to go to get protection to buy their health insurance if they go into effect. The delayed repeal is one that might work, but only because it would force us into additional action within a 24-month period, but it would give us a chance to actually work through and have full committee hearings. So that one there is some interest in. There is another proposal which is coming out, which is starting to gain some steam, in my opinion, and that's being offered by Cassidy and Graham. And it would basically block grant a huge amount of these resources back to the states to be spent on health care and allow the states to set up their Medicare, their transition periods. Their Medicaid and their transition periods, their reinsurance programs and incentives for keeping the prices on premiums down. And that one has some real interest because it allows for local control, it allows for experimentation by the states. And that one's got some more work to be done on it, but that's got some real attention in just the last couple of days as well.
When you mentioned not having enough votes for a skinny repeal or a straight repeal, I think many Republicans are still voting yes for those. Is that sort of a strategic yes vote if it's not a complete ideological one? Explain why you would vote yes for that.
To send a message that if we need to have that go to a conference committee, that if we have enough votes to get it over there, then that can be changed in conference once we get the scores on the other proposed ideas that are out there. Because there are a number of people that like other ideas better than that one. But if that's the only idea that we can get scored, then the other ones, you got to have 60 votes to get passed. And if you've got a skinny or a delayed action, those have been scored. And we know that we can do those with 51 votes. So just to keep it alive so that you can actually amend it and fix it, recognizing that if everything works poorly and you don't have them, all it takes is three people to tube the final result in the report of the conference committee. But we also know that if we do nothing, people get hurt because Obamacare's prices are going up in South Dakota by between 20% and 40%, and there's no end in sight on it. People will still have deductibles that are equal to almost as much as their annual income is. So doing nothing on this is really not an option if we want to try to help individuals who count on us to provide them with a reasonable health care market.
Senator Rounds, can you explain to me in a brief soundbite, I hate to ask you for that, but why those premiums are going up by 20 to 40%? Is it because not enough people are signing up on the exchanges, or is there something else at play there in the structure of the policy?
There is something else at play because there is no competition right now under Obamacare. Most of the carriers have left. Those that are remaining are doing their best to pay for what they call the essential health benefits, which are extremely expensive. When you talk about mental health coverages, alcohol, addiction coverages, and so forth, those particular items have been, in some cases, amount to 15% of the entire premium that some policies amount to. So the very rich benefits, even though there are high deductibles, are driving part of the cost up.
Is repeal viable without Democrat compromise and Democrat support? Are you reaching that point where you'll just exhaust the possibilities without coming up with a way to bring some Democrats into the fold?
We have not gotten to that point yet. It would be really good if Republicans and Democrats could find some common ground on this, but you have to remember, Democrats created Obamacare. They still have an ID with it. To them, it's a walk away from what was their signature legislation. But they also know that they lost the House, they lost the Senate, they lost the presidency, they've lost the governor's chairs, a lot of House or state houses because of Obamacare. They're thinking politically that if they sit back and refuse to do anything and Republicans do something, that Republicans would take the blame for increases in health care premiums in the future if we don't do it correctly. So politically, they're playing the message, and they've been very frank with us about it. Folks that we get along with good on the other side say, look, this is going to be your baby now, and now you guys get to lose the governor chair, you get to lose the presidency, just because we don't think you guys can make anything work. And so they're sitting back saying, it's your turn to suffer with it, and we're sitting back over here saying, you have to understand, Obamacare is imploding, people are getting hurt, and we're going to try to do something to fix this thing. And we think going back to competitive markets and allowing inexpensive policies to be written again are going to bring more people back into the fold, and they'll start buying insurance policies that they can actually afford and that might give them some sense of coverage that today they feel like the deductibles are so high that they don't get anything out of it.
And the criticism of those policies were that they really didn't cover enough or anything. They were the pre-existing condition was a problem back then. What's your response to that?
Yeah, and what I've seen is in every single case there is a fallback where pre-existing conditions will be included in the policies, that there will be no limits on the upper end of policy. So if somebody gets really sick, they do not run out. That every policy will be guaranteed renewable and every policy will be guaranteed portable. Well, the places where they would like to make changes is to say, look, if you don't think that you need alcohol addiction coverages, you don't have to buy it. If you don't need mental health coverages other than biologically based mental illnesses, you don't have to buy it. If you're 70 years old or 60 years old and you don't want to buy pregnancy coverages, you don't have to buy that particular product. And in doing so, you can actually reduce some of the costs of these policies. So people that are healthy, they say, this is worthwhile buying, and I will buy it. And then since I'm healthy, the chances of me actually contributing more in premiums than what I get paid back out helps to offset the cost for those other individuals who really do need it and who do have pre-existing conditions.
You know, we just have about a minute left, Senator Rounds, but let's go back to this amendment that you say maybe has some traction with the block grants, Cassie and Graham bringing it forward. What does that look like in South Dakota? In theory, if something like that or something similar to that goes forward, then it comes back. There's more control in the state. You've been governor of the state. What happens next here in South Dakota?
It would mean then that South Dakota could actually take a look at their Medicaid program. And they could say, look, we want more Medicaid coverage for people between perhaps 100% of poverty and 138% of poverty, but we want it for people who need it, not for able-bodied individuals who choose not to work. And so there's a lot of people out there that would benefit from that. In fact, in South Dakota, if we wanted to actually provide assistance to people who make under $12,000 a year but who want to buy health insurance and who currently aren't eligible for it, we could provide assistance for that. For the people that have the individual health care products, the 77,000 people, we could stabilize their markets. And so rather than going up by 20% or 40%, we might be able to actually stabilize that with some of the dollars that are coming back to the states. But the states would have the ability to actually focus the dollars coming in into the areas that they believe do the best for their citizens. You'd have to spend it on health care, but you could put it into your Medicaid program. You could put it in to the individual health care program, or you could buy reinsurance coverages so that companies could say, look, for those individuals who really are ill, we can pass off some of our high costs onto this pre-existing expense plan or reinsurance product, thus keeping our other prices low so more people can afford to buy the basic insurance stuff. Those are the types of things that the different states have expressed an interest in and a desire to do.
Senator Mike Rounds, you have more voting and more conversations to do, so thank you so much for your time today. We'll catch up with you in the future and follow it closely.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to my conversation with Senator Mike Rounds. I caught up with him yesterday afternoon. Stay with NPR and SDPB Radio for continued coverage of the Affordable Care Act debate.